Turn your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. As we've looked in this chapter, we've considered about the three things that remain for the mature child of God. We've taken a look and tried to delve into this about what is charity. And love with legs on it, I believe, is a good way to describe it. We saw here earlier in this chapter how in these first verses it makes it very clear that with no charity within, all of our works are vain. With no charity within, all of our works are vain. Verse number one, if we have not such, we are sound, that is vain and empty. And verse number two, if we have not charity, we are nothing. And verse number three, we are profited nothing. Next, we took a look about the character of charity. And the character of charity, we see this in verses number 4 and 5, 6, and 7. We see in verse number 8 that this character of charity is such that it never fails. Charity never fails. Love with legs on it never fails. It's very near and speaks of the fruit of the Spirit that our Lord manifests towards us and that we are to manifest towards one another. Charity, to be filled with charity and to have charity, love with legs on it towards our Lord, towards our brothers and sisters in Christ, and towards those that are without Christ, to our neighbor, it's going to take some self-control, isn't it? It's going to take some self-control over this old flesh and this old mind. This morning, what we want to take a look at here, contained in the latter part of the chapter, is the path of spiritual maturity. The path of spiritual maturity is outlined for us here. It's very concise. But in this chapter, we see, I believe, the point and the context of it. We'll take a look at these verses and understand and reconsider how they are applied, and I think it's appropriate to do so in that way that I've known most of my saved life and heard my saved life. But I think that application to the Word of God is really missing what the chapter and what the Lord is speaking to us about. And so we're looking here, and what this is doing, it's coming in on our lives as a child of God and the warfare that we have over this flesh and how this old man needs to be taken and used for the honor and glory of our Lord. The path of spiritual maturity. Let's read here this chapter. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, hear that, and have not charity, I am nothing. Verse number 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, the character of charity, and is kind. Charity, love with legs on it, envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Verse number 8, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. And whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, But then, face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Verse number 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these, the largest of these, the eldest of these, that's that word greatest, is charity. In verse number 9, we see here the beginning of this, actually in verse number 8, we see the beginning of this path of spiritual maturity. The analogy that's used, the picture that is being painted for us, is about being young and being a child, and being older and being mature and being a man. That's the picture that's laid before us. There in verse number 8, where it says that charity never fails, it says, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. It's not that the good word of God will ever let us down, because the Lord's word is settled in heaven. But there is, and there has come a time, when there's not any more revelation from God through the men of God. There's nothing new concerning what we need to know as the Lord's children and as the Lord's churches. The Lord gave His word to the Old Testament prophets, and we've taken a look at that recently in what Brother Peter writes unto us, that those men, those old prophets, were used by the Lord to give us His good word. The Old Testament is what we called it. And then He also affirmed to us that the apostles and some others were used of the Lord to give us what we call the New Testament scriptures. And we have indeed the whole counsel of God. We have the entire Word of God here in this good book that we call the Bible. This is God's breathed Word unto you and me. All those men Old Testament, all those men New Testament, they were inspired by the Spirit of God. God breathed as He spoke to them and moved in them and worked in them to give us this good book. So He says here, prophecies are going to fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. You know, well, there was a time there with the first church that tongues were a token to the heathen of the great work of God that was at hand amongst the Lord's people and amongst the Lord's church. The Lord, having taken the keys of the kingdom from Israel and given it to His church, and thereby His churches, He made great declaration there that this is where I am and this is where my Spirit is moving. On the day of Pentecost, the church had already been built by the Lord, but our Lord empowered that church, and during that time that He spent with them in that 40 days before Pentecost, and on the day of Pentecost, He let the world know that this is my place. And it's not a building, it's not a geography, but it's a people that the Lord has assembled and put together, called, that He has found in the midst of them. It's really interesting, isn't it? Going from a tabernacle, going to a temple, and then now building His house. As the Scripture says, who we are His house here at Olmsted Baptist Church. And what a blessing it is to be part of such. There's not a need for tongues anymore for a man to preach in English or something like that, what I speak. It's kind of sort of like English. And be heard in German, or to be heard in Spanish, or some other language, in Chinese. That's the way that it was there on the day of Pentecost, and I believe at other times, for those men that the Lord had blessed with that cloven tongue. Remember the cloven tongue, that abode upon each one of them? They would speak, and the Lord would take, and by His power and ability, He would take it to use it, that those folks, there are 17 different nations represented, 17 different people around the Mediterranean, there on the south and the north and the east, they heard the glorious gospel and words of the Lord in the tongue of their nativity. Not where they lived, but where they were born. Something very personal to them. That was the testimony of those. And no doubt at other times, but the Apostle Paul said that he was able to speak in tongues. And it's languages. It's not something that's not able to be discerned, but by those of those other languages, they could hear the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. It was the Lord using that to let folks know that he's there and he is speaking to them and bringing them the truth. You know what? Where there be tongues, they shall cease. See, understand that the Lord's work and the Lord's work in his church there at Jerusalem is the Lord's work in bringing churches and sending out the gospel into all nations, to every creature, every person, no matter the nationality. That work and the Lord's working in his church that would become other churches would be started from her. It was very infant, wasn't it? It was new. It was a New Testament, if you will. It was a new way that the Lord was going to work. Not just from a nation headquartered and settled there in the Middle East, but the Lord's churches and the Lord's people in his churches and men that he would call, had already called and would call, to go out and preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This week, in thinking about the forerunner of Christ, Brother John the Baptist, something the Lord brought to heart and mind about Brother John. John was out in the wilderness preaching, and it seems like if you wanted to hear John's preaching, and the Lord worked it this way, but you had to go out into the wilderness where John was at. John was seemingly always found, according to the scriptures, over there by the Jordan River. He was a man that was sent to baptize believers and those that repented of their sins and trusted in this one that he preached that was coming soon. And it came down even to the time that John said, he's here. He's here now. But he had to go to John to hear the message. But look at the Lord Jesus Christ. After the Lord Jesus Christ went to get that authority of baptism, he didn't need baptism for himself, but he left us an example regarding it. Many things there that are subject for another time. But after the Lord Jesus went to John to be baptized of him, and then having taken that authority, given it to his church in that day, the Lord Jesus insisted on going to other towns to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. See that? If you want to hear the message from John, you had to go to him. But you know what Jesus did? He carried the message to those cities and towns in Galilee, and in Samaria, and in Judea, and even otherwise, according to those scriptures. You know what? That's the example he's given unto us. We're to go near, and we're to go far. Olmsted Baptist Church is to go near and to go far with the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the tongues, they have ceased. There's a maturing here. There's a growing up that's at hand. The prophecies of the Word of God. We have the New Testament, and you take the New Testament and break it down. You know, we have the Gospels there at the beginning, which we need to be founded on those. We need to know those. Each individual child of God needs to know about their Lord and what he's done for them. It's a testimony. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is a testimony of what Jesus Christ did for you to save your soul. You need to know about him. Then in the book of Acts, we see about his church. And all the way to 2 Thessalonians, we see about the Lord's operation in his church, how we're to operate, what we're supposed to be doing. He's given us that. That's a part of it. That's a real part of it. We need to be studying that and knowing that and understanding that and taking that and applying that to our church. And then he's told us about what? He's told us about preachers. He's told us about pastors, hadn't he? With 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus and that. And then we have what do we have there? Then we have Hebrews, James, and John, and Jude, and then the Revelation. All of those talking to us about living for the Lord and putting action with our faith and being a testimony and witness of the Lord. And in the book of Revelation, telling us about those end times and those things that our Lord has promised us there. We don't need to have a man come anymore and speak as of the oracles of God. We have them. They're right here. And what you and I need to be is we need to be in them. and have them in us. There's not a need for a brother to have this gift. And I think that the Lord blesses missionaries with the ability to learn another language. But there's not that of tongues anymore. Whereas I would preach here in English and we would have maybe a visitor that would only understand Spanish or something like that. And they would hear in their tongue as I would preach in English. There's not a need for that. You know why? The Word of God, especially in our day, this good Word of God, it's found in Spanish. It's found in Portuguese. It's found in Mandarin. It's found in German. It's found in French. It's been published. The book that has been published far beyond and in greater quantity and number than any book ever in the world. We have what we need. Tongues will cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, this is talking about there's that of the Word of God or knowledge that we gain from God and that the Lord teaches us that'll be of no use anymore. Well, from the standpoint of the ceremonial and sacrificial law, they speak of Christ and tell about what Christ would do and has done. But as Gentiles found here today, saved and in the Lord's churches, we don't offer the Passover. It doesn't apply to us to have it and go offer the annual atonement. We don't do those things. That is past. There's that New Testament for us. It's given to us how we worship and serve the Lord and how we're called to serve Him and worship Him here in His church in our context. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. He says, here is the path of spiritual maturity. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. We grow. Over the last several years, being pastor here, I make a note to challenge each one, each member in the church. Have you grown in the knowledge of your Lord from this time last year? Have you learned more about Him in the Scriptures? Have you learned more about what the Lord has done to save you and bring you? Have you been worshiping your Lord and praising His name for what He's done for you and for your family, for the church here? We need to pursue not just knowing a little, but we need to pursue knowing more about our Lord. We live these lives. We live these lives and we're here. It's all that we've known physically is this mortal existence. But you know what? As the children of God, we've got a calling that is beyond this mortal existence. We are to live here for our Lord. But understand, this is not our home. This is not our permanent dwelling place. We have not put our stake here. Have we? We need to take these things and use them for the honor and glory of our Lord. We need, you know, our state is starting out being saved and a child of God. We know we're saved. We talked about that recently, about the infant. The infant, they know they're alive, but they don't know much else. They know when they get hungry, and they figure out real quick that if they cry, they can maybe get some food or maybe get changed. But their parents teach them. Their parents show them things. Their parents instruct them. They get to where they can talk. They start off jabbering, and you can't understand half of what they say, but they jabber you, and you keep on trying, and you keep on working, and they learn, and they grow. That's the way it is with you and me as the children of the Lord, and we're to grow. We're to desire the sincere milk of the Word in the beginning. We're to always to love that milk. But that milk is not the only diet that we're to have. We're supposed to get up to eating vegetables and eating meat and eating solid food. For we know in part, and we don't know everything, nor can we attain everything. I think very, very much the children of God can fall subject to, are tempted in this and that. The Bible is just such a big book. There's no way that I can ever master it. Listen. You will not master it, but you're to try. You're to give your life to filling up on the Word of God. You and I are to give our life to be students of the Lord's Word. Because we know in part, and we prophesy in part. The Apostle Paul used of the Lord, here speaking to the church at Corinth and to us, he told some, he told much about what the Lord had to say in bringing the Word of God in that. We don't know it all, but we're to grow. Verse 10, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. The path of spiritual maturity. We're to grow. We're to learn. We're to go from just knowing a little to knowing more and taking it and applying it to our lives to live for our Lord. We're to become, not always be in an infantile state, but to be mature. Understand this word perfect here. Listen to the definition of this word perfect. Now, we've taken this verse and applied it to the Scripture, which is true. I think it will well be applied to the Scripture, that this is perfect is a word that's maybe difficult for us to understand in our culture, in our context, be living here in this day. This word perfect doesn't mean, it's not talking about being, although the Word of God is precise and without error. But listen to what the definition of this word is. Speaks to. It's talking about growth. It's talking about mental and moral character. When used in a noun, it's talking about completeness, full of age. It's talking about a man, which is not a child. It's talking about completeness, as we've mentioned. Use of this word, I want you to come over here just across the page is probably the case for you. Look over here in chapter 14, verse 20. Look at the use of this word. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice, getting back, being vengeful, be ye children, but in understanding of the things of our Lord and the soberness of life, be men. That word men is that same word perfect that we see over here in chapter 13, verse number 10. See, but when that which is mature has come. See, as we mature in our Lord and gain experience with our Lord, as a brother mentioned this morning, you know, going through some trials, you know, puts your faith to the test. Going through some trials causes patience to grow and expand. As a brother mentioned, it's hard to be proud when you've got adversity upon you, and we know that we need the help of our Lord, and we go to Him, and we grow in that way. When that which is mature is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. That lesser knowledge, that lesser understanding, it fades away as we grow. In the context here, when the Word of God has come along, then we won't need the prophesying. We won't need the tongues because we've got what God has said. Remember the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. The devils would speak out. They would say, we know who you are, the Holy One of God. We know who you are, Jesus of Nazareth. Are you come to torment us before the time? Are you come to do this or that to us? They were subservient to the Lord. They recognized His presence and His power and His ability. They knew that He is going to send them to the lake of fire in the end. See, they know all those things. Really putting mankind to shame in what the demons know about Christ and what we know about Christ. What is it that the Lord told them? Did the Lord Jesus Christ say unto them, keep on talking? No, He didn't. He said, be still. He told them, quit talking. Because the Lord was not going to use the testimony of demons and of devils to be a witness to mankind. But the Lord's purpose and design is to use His Word to be a witness to mankind. The Lord came and did the miracles as He did to show us that He has the power to forgive sins. But you know what the Lord always deferred to? He would heal people and He would say, don't tell anybody. What? Now, they couldn't keep their mouths closed. But the design of the Lord is that men hear his word. It tells in Romans chapter 10, verse number 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the design. That is how the Lord is worshiped, is by faith in him and his word and what he has declared. When that which is perfect, the maturity, another verse here that tells us about this word perfect is Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 13. Listen, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. You hear that? The knowledge, knowing about Jesus in every way, unto a perfect man. Listen, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There's the gauge, is Christ. You and I, as the children of God, are called to be like Christ, to be conformed to the image of the Lord. That when the world sees us, they don't see Jim Duke, they don't see you, they see the Lord. We're to grow up in our Lord. Sad to say, there are many that are just, they're content with being saved. And it's a wonderful thing to be saved. They're content with having their name on a church roll and being a member of one of the Lord's churches. They're content being there. And they don't go and grow up. They don't take their life and use it for the Lord and his ministry and his service. And may our Lord help us that we not be found in that stagnant place. It's wonderful to be saved. It's wonderful to be a member of the Lord's church. But we're to take our life to young people, you that are young and are saved, you take your life and use it for the Lord. You talk to some of these that are older, they'll tell you, when your body just won't go anymore, you can't do like you used to. And you need to take while you can do for your Lord and be obedient to him. Be obedient to him in our lives. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect, maturity, is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Are you growing in the teaching of the Lord? Are you adding to your faith those things that were commanded to do? He tells here, here's an example, verse number 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. There's an advancement. There's a pursuit. There's a growth that you and I are to be involved with. Maybe you just newly been saved. Maybe just been saved for just a year or two, maybe, or something like that. You know what? You're to grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord. You're to pursue him. You're to be faithful to him in every whit and every aspect of life. Understand, you don't have this life, part of life over here that's yours, and then you got this part of life over here that's the Lord's. The Lord's just real plain. He wants it all. It's all his. Being a wife, being a mother, being a father, being a husband, all of that. Being a worker, all of it. Being a child, being a daughter, being a son, the Lord wants all of your life, that in school and that of work. It is all his. He says, children are to grow up and become mature. Children have infantile thinking. You know, it's not wrong for that to be the case. Because as you're young, you learn principles and you learn different things. And then you take that to do other things. For example, my background's engineering. Somebody's got to learn how to count before they can do stress analysis on bridge structures. And you know what? That takes some time. It takes some growth. The one that's doing stress analysis on bridge structures, counting is over with. They do counting without even thinking about counting because they're on to higher level math principles to be able to do this analysis and this evaluation of this bridge to make sure a bridge that they build won't fall in when the grain trucks drive over it. That's what the brother's saying. There's some things that we learn early on that children need to learn, and that sincere milk of the Word. But you know what? As we grow, as we go towards maturity, we need to gain and to go on about things. You know, someone as an example, do you believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, if you're saved, you do. That's how the Lord saved you. But as you go and you grow on, I'm just not talking about the gospel becoming less in any way. But the gospel is a foundational principle from which we need to move on. The grace of the Lord calling us and choosing us, that's a foundational principle that is there. There is that to go and grow on unto. Just because we've been blessed to understand a thing, what is it about the grace of the Lord that takes and does for us in our lives? We understand and we know these doctrines and we're thankful for them. But you know what? When you're faced with lying tomorrow, how will you obey your Lord? You need to know that the Lord says to us that we're not to lie as an example. We're to grow up in those things of our Lord. Remember, the context of the chapter is faith, hope, and charity. These three remain. These three abide. They live. But the greatest of these is charity. Another aspect about children is they only think about now. Isn't that the truth? That's the way children are. They think about now. They give little consideration to the future. With a child, it's when they're little and they're young, there's little vision in there. You talk to a child about next month. I remember when I was little, next month, next month is a year, a whole year. Got to wait a whole year. Now that I'm older and you too, a year is just kind of like a little window, isn't it? It's not much time. If I get something done within a quarter, 3 months, I'm happy. But when you're a child, you just have no vision. You have no thought for the future. But you know what? As we grow older, we are to do so. Listen to what this chapter has talked to us about. With no charity within, all of our works are empty. We got to give some consideration to that. It takes some maturity and some self-control to consider about that. Why am I doing what I am doing? Am I doing what I'm doing because I love my Lord and He's instructed me? Am I doing what I'm doing to please myself, or am I doing what I'm doing to please my Lord and to help another? To point them to Christ. What is our fruit and how does it or will it remain? See, that takes some vision, doesn't it? Remember the Lord Jesus Christ, listen to what He says here, and turn your Bibles, will, to John chapter 15, verse number 16. Listen to what the Lord says here. Again, we're looking and considering the path of spiritual maturity. Listen to this. Listen to the order here. In John chapter 15, verse number 16, Jesus says to His disciples, He says to us, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Understand, there's no period there. The thought continues on because there's a call unto maturity. Listen to what the Lord says. "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you," and praise God for it, "and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit." It's going to take faith. It's going to take hope. And it's going to take love with legs on it for our Lord to pursue that. We're going to have some self-control over this old body. Because remember, I trust you can remember the message. It takes the old man to feed the new. It takes the old man to serve the Lord with the new man. The old man is still against God, and he's got to be mortified and pinned down. The new man is a spirit of God living within. And you know what? He gets carried around by the old man. You're here for services this morning. I'm glad that you subdued your old man to be able to get here. Because it's the only way your new man, that I pray is being fed this morning in the services and worshiping our Lord, it's the only way he could get here, is get that old man pinned down and not let him run off and do something else. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. See, there's vision for the future. That's what the mature person does. But a child doesn't do that. But when you grow up and you become a man, you take away the foolish thoughts of childhood and the lack of vision, and you lay that away. You take the principles learned there early and take those and apply and build on those. He says that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father, of the Father in my name, he may give it you. The path of spiritual maturity, growing in our Lord. What does a man do? What does a mature man do? Someone that is mature, what is it that they do? Turn over here to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, we pick it up here in verse number 11. And listen here, listen to the order. Listen to what's at hand. In Titus chapter 2, verse number 11, the path of spiritual maturity. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, you and I, we should live soberly. That takes some listening to the Lord, the way things really are, to understand. We should live righteously, and we should live like our Lord, godly, in this present world. Verse number 13, looking for that blessed hope. So see, there's hope. There's hope. In these things mentioned before that, it's going to take, in maturity, it's going to take some knowledge about what the Lord says, isn't it? It's going to take some self-control over this old mortal man. It's going to take some love for our Lord to really cling and hang on his every word, that what he says unto us is really true, that it's right for us to deny ungodly and worldly desires. That it's right for us to live soberly and not understand what the Lord says in his word. It's going to take some looking and digging into the word of God to understand what God believes, what our Lord believes. It's going to take some self-control to live righteously like our Lord. It's going to take some self-control, some help from God to live like him in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope. Looking for that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Brother Peter, we saw Wednesday night, said that if this old world's going to be burned up and everything that's in it, that should make you and me, the children of God, be looking for the coming of the day of the Lord, that our desire would be that it would come and that we should live righteously and in a holy way and in a sober way, knowing that we've been rescued by our Lord from these things. See, if you're here and you're not saved, your stake is right here on this old dirt ball. And listen, it's going away. It's going to vanish. It's going to be dissolved. It's going to be burned up with a fervent heat. Just like the man of the parables with the towns and the pounds and the talents, the man that took his and buried it in the earth, he trusted this old earth, and this old earth is going away. But child of God, you and I, we have a hope of being with our Lord, don't we? We have a great hope of the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, looking for him. As the scripture says, when Jesus comes, child of God, do you want to be ashamed when he comes? Do you want to be ashamed and off doing something that you shouldn't be doing when Jesus comes, when the trumpet sounds? You want to be off doing something that you shouldn't be doing and be ashamed of his coming? Or do we want to be found diligent, growing, maturing, learning, following, have a vision for the future, desiring that you would bear fruit unto your Lord that will remain? I'll tell you what, faith in the Lord, hope, and love with legs on it for Him are the things that abide. Listen to this, what it says. Listen to how the brother frames this. Looking forward to that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Very zealous of good works. I tell you what, faith in the Lord and what He has said and the doctrine that He's given us, hope in our Lord and the promises that He's given us, and knowing that this place is not our home, we're just passing through, we're going to a better place, or we're going to be with Him wherever He is. And love for Him that'll cause you and me to move, that'll cause you and me to pursue. As we mentioned this morning, as it says, I believe in Colossians or Galatians, that we would apprehend that for which we are apprehended. The Lord arrested me. If you're here and say the Lord arrested you, but you know what? We are called to apprehend and pursue Him. And may our Lord help us in this. Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. What's He tell the preacher? What's He tell the pastor? These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. I'm going to close right there for now. There's not enough time to be able to deal with the rest of this. Maybe this afternoon we'll go ahead and do so. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 13, there at the end, the path to spiritual maturity is to grow in our Lord, grow in the calling that He's given us. And it's only with faith in Him and what He said, faith in Him and regarding His calling unto us, faith in Him that this world has nothing to offer us, hope in Him and the promises that He's given, and charity, love with legs on it, that which is the greatest of these that remain and abide is how we need to grow in our Lord. I've determined to go ahead and change the title of the messages. Rather than the three that remain for the mature child of God, how about this? The three that remain for the maturing child of God. Because we won't ever in this life be totally and completely mature. But we're to be pursuing that indeed, aren't we?